Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Hi, I'm Matthias. I'm a psychotherapist, and I specialize in working with trauma.
Hi, I'm Joey. I'm an author and a poet.
This is a podcast where we dive deep into complicated questions.
And share our personal experiences.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll gain some insight.
Or maybe just leave with more questions.
Yeah, well, thing is, we're two dudes who probably just need some more therapy.
Welcome to the season finale of These Guys Need Therapy.
Wow, here we are.
Cheers. What are you drinking? I'm drinking a liquid death.
I'm drinking a Calamansi sparkling water by Sanzo. I don't know.
All right.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just here. I'm just happy to be here. What have we got on the docket today? What are we doing, Jimmy Kidney? Joey Kidney.
You talk to Jimmy a lot, eh? Jimmy on
Dude, no, I did the same thing, and I offended him, too. I called him Joey the other day, and he's like, it's Jimmy, and now I just did it to you. So now I have the pleasure of offending both of you. I do. I talk to both of you very often. And
that's okay. You both have kids, so, like, I know the names are now just, like, out the window.
Jimmy,
you just
Joey.
Know faces. That's fine. But, So, remember last episode we gave a phone number out?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So that phone number has had a few hundred calls to it, and they
Dude,
left
can I tell you
mails.
Something? Can yeah. I tell you something? So I did not have the settings on that phone number put to where it wouldn't actually just ring me on my computer straight up. So here's what happened for me like all week. I kept getting calls incessantly, like every 3-4 minutes for like a week, and it was I could not turn it off. I did not. No, like, what in the world was going on? And eventually Lily, my assistant, figured out how to turn it off so that I wouldn't get directly rung. So, yeah, thank you, everyone who called. I almost answered, like, 3 of them at the very beginning. It probably was good that I didn't.
Your ego must just went skyrocket.
Oh, I thought I was just, like, it was a targeted attack of, like, sales calls or something. So, anyway.
Yeah, they're trying to sell you their problems. And that's what we're buying today.
I'm happy to hear him. I'm super stoked. I'm so grateful everyone who took time to call in and say hi. I want to hear it. I haven't heard any of them. Have you heard any of them?
I heard the first one. And then that's pretty much it. So okay. I think we just like dive into it.
Just want to press play and then just let's see what we got.
Okay. You ready for our first one?
Okay. Let her rip.
I don't know what Caller. It's about. I don't know anything.
Caller number 9.
Hi, Joey. Hi, Matthias. What are some steps that someone can take to get better at receiving love languages when that typically makes them uncomfortable?
Wow. It's awesome. Do you have a thought on that, Jimmy, on the love language?
Did you call me
Do you
Jimmy?
Have a love language?
You just call me
oh
Jimmy again.
No, I did not. I did not. Oh, I'm sorry. That means I got to go to Jimmy Knowles and start calling him Joey incessantly just to even out the balance for my own guilt. Is that
I
how that works?
I take it as a compliment.
I'm sorry.
He's phenomenal.
Joey Kidney.
It's going to have to be my love language now to be called Jimmy.
Yeah, what love language does that violate?
Probably all of them. It's probably a good time to get out of that relationship.
What? All right, bringing it back. What love language do you have the hardest time receiving?
Physical touch, for sure. For sure, physical touch. I was also a kid that I feel like I almost failed kindergarten class because I wouldn't want to get like my fingers dirty from finger painting. Mm. Oh, even when I'm sitting on the couch and my dog comes up and like sits beside me, my brain just goes, okay, I can feel the dog on my thigh. Like it's getting a little bit warm. Okay. Oh my God. I need to move immediately. And so that's obviously just with a dog. But when it comes to relationships, I have a really hard time with that. And actually, it's not just me, right? It's also my partner who has a really, really hard time with that, because they're like, okay, how can I show my love language to you if that's something that you don't necessarily love to receive?
Yeah.
So that's been something I've been working on. Yeah.
Do you feel like it's a consequence of just being kind of just high sensory input? Like that's just kind of overwhelming for you? Like,
I feel like it goes hand in hand with almost ADHD. And then ADHD kind of like bordering with anxiety. It's not that I don't like to be touched, but it's because my mind is elsewhere. So I'm feeling like I need to be on the go, that when a hug comes in or just like sitting on the couch, like a cuddle or anything like that, you feel like, okay, that's good. Now I need to move on to the next thing.
Mm. So yeah, part of it is like in the experience of ADD, it can feel like all sorts of things are just flooding you all at once. And there's just so many different options. And then so many of the ways that we just try to kind of keep focused attention or keep like just grounded in the present, almost like physical touch is like extra information that feels a bit distracting from what we're trying to pay attention to. As weird and backwards as that sounds. So that totally makes sense. That totally makes sense. You'd feel that way. I think a lot of people feel that way.
And the only way that I've felt has helped is that I have to initiate the physical touch. So going throughout my day, my love language isn't necessarily, I don't need to be touched. I don't need somebody to come over and hug me. I just need somebody to, I don't know, more acts of service, if you will. And so throughout my day, I have to remind myself, okay, I'm going to go give this like quick little hug, quick little kiss on the cheek, whatever, anything like that, or a little pat on the back. Like it could be so minuscule to me, but it's huge to them. And then that allows them to feel comfortable to do it to me as well. So if I'm just like constantly shunning it, they're never gonna, it's always just gonna feel like a battle.
Yeah, I think you're right. There has to be some intentionality. I would kind of say something like the acceptance, maybe on the first end, that's normal. A lot of people feel that way. That doesn't mean you're bad. That doesn't mean you don't like physical touch. Because the big thing about love languages is like the reason that like therapist types don't use love languages very often, or we don't talk about that psychology very often, is because we're kind of all of us have all five love languages. Like all of us do receive love in all of them. And the misunderstanding about the love languages is we're only one or only a couple types when we all need all of them. But we certainly lean into some of them more than the others. And I think that's why it's caught on in culture so deeply. So I would say accept that physical touch is just a bit overstimulating, or that there's just seasons of your life where it's more or less desired. That's totally normal too. Mm-hmm. There's always in a couple someone who's like higher on the physical touch spectrum than lower. So this is like something everyone typically has to negotiate on one level or another. So accepting it without making it bad. Then, like you're saying, having intentional rhythms, intentional gestures where you bring it in because you know that that's how your partner really connects to you. And I would just say you might experience higher levels of connection yourself if you really put it in there. You might find that you enjoy the hugs and the kisses and the snuggles. You know, it's not just like, you know, grating against you to do such things. But when you actively accept and choose to go about it, it doesn't hit you in the same way as when it feels like it's an interruption or a distraction. So I would just say that those are actually two qualitatively different things. Mine is like, I really love words of affirmation, and Paige is a very like internal processor. And not that she's not affirming, she's really sweet and really affirming, but I would just say like, there's been several times in our marriage where I'm like, oh, I want to hear what you're thinking. I want to hear kind of what you think about me and how you feel about me. And she's like, oh my gosh, I feel it. And the moment like I invite the conversation, she's quick to rush in and fill in that space. But it just doesn't occur to her to like lavish out the flattery or whatever, I guess to the degree that I get my appetite would like to receive it. Or does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm super similar in that way as well. Like, do you find that you need the words of affirmation because it's something that you didn't receive growing up?
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, there's probably a layer to that. I think it's probably childhood. It's probably also that I'm a therapist and so much of my job is holding space for other people that it's nice to come home and in my own marriage to feel seen and held by someone else. Like, you know, so much of the therapist relationship is one way. You know, the person isn't, you know, my client isn't supposed to be like hearing me, hearing my emotions, hearing my thoughts, giving me affirmation, giving me encouragement. That's my job. Like, as the therapist, I'm holding space for them. And so then when I go upstairs, I'm like, oh, cool. A reciprocal, mutual, two-way thing. Can't wait. And sometimes that can be a pressure that Paige isn't even aware she's under sometimes.
Now, what about self-affirmations, like looking in the mirror? Does that work for you? I know it works for a lot of people, but
I don't know. I think in LA it works. It seems like everyone over there really enjoys those. I don't know. It's never hit for me. How about you?
Never in my life. I think acknowledging that I'm there, and it's more of a grounding moment than it is fulfilling the words of affirmation.
Yeah, you have to actually believe it. Like, it has to be more like a self-reminder for it to click at all, I think. I think if you're looking in the mirror and you're saying something you just genuinely don't believe about yourself, it's not going to click. But if it's like something I just need to remind myself of, like, hey, I am good at this, then bringing that to mind, I think, can be helpful. I don't know. I haven't thought much about self-affirmations.
I think with the love languages, I think we have to slow down our life a little bit in order to accept them.
Mm.
That's what I feel like gets in my way, is I feel like I like I said, I always need to be kind of moving and on the go and things need to be changing. And I'm like, oh, I'm too busy for this. I'm too busy to show any type of love to them. I got to do this. And then it's like, okay, well, now I want my words of affirmation and I need this and that. We don't even give ourselves time to dish it out as well as take it in. So we're just so stressed, right?
Yeah. The pace of every love language is slow.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the best times that you'll have with anyone's partners, you just, not you have with anyone's partner, sorry, that anyone has with their partner is going to be like sitting outside watching the sunset. Like, it's just like super chill, super slow. It's going to be, you know, traveling to Memorial and being with family and slowing down life a little bit. Like, those are going to be the moments where you feel like really, really connected.
Yeah. Well said. That's really good. That's great.
Should we play another
one? All right. Yeah, let's play another one.
Okay, I'm just going to give a random scroll.
Hi, guys. So I'm on my way into nursing school, and I feel very behind. I feel behind everybody that I'm in classes with, and I feel behind in, you know, this whole process of getting to where I want to be and getting into this career. You know, I know I'm not old, but I'm 20, and I feel like everybody entering this field has already got a leg up on me, you know, freshly getting in at 18 and already being nurse techs and, you know, having jobs in the medical field already. And I feel like because I started my career in tattooing that I'm really far behind. And that being so, it makes me feel pretty bad, pretty terrible, almost worthless in a sense that maybe I'm not cut out for this, but I know I am. And I get down on myself a lot because sometimes these classes make me feel so stupid, but I know I'm not, but it really have me thinking at the end of the day that maybe I just can't do this. So what's something that I can remind myself, you know, on a weekly or daily basis that inspires me to keep going like it's tough? Thanks. Bye.
If I were her therapist, the next question I would ask immediately is this a familiar feeling for you?
Why?
Because that sounds like there's a story there.
Saying like there's more to it?
My guess is there's been experiences, if you're listening, in your life where you felt behind You felt like everyone else had something you didn't. You felt like something that you were bringing to the table wasn't enough to be able to get over the finish line, to feel belonging, to feel connected, to feel okay. And that this is actually something you've experienced before, and that's why it's weighing on you so heavily, because you're looking around and you're like, oh no, it's going to happen again. That's my intuition. My intuition is this is deeper.
So how would she, if she's listening, how would she tackle that if she's taken what you've said right now, realize that it is something a little bit deeper? Obviously, you can't give specifics, but how would she tackle that?
Well, I think that just generally, you're going to go into some of those experiences that feel like they almost run parallel. Like there's a similar genre of memory or experience that you've been through where you felt behind. And you're going to ask, like, what did, you know, ninth grade you need back then when you felt behind? What did you need an adult to be able to see was going on? And then what was the encouraging word that you needed that would have made it okay? Maybe it was even earlier. Like, I don't know, maybe you moved when you were really young. Like you were 6 years old and you moved to a new town. And then you're trying to kind of get into a new group of friends, but everyone else grew up together. And so it's like, how do I enter in? It's like, what did you need? What did you need someone to tell you? What was the conclusion that you came up with about yourself that while it made sense that a six-year-old would come up with that, isn't actually true? Like maybe the six-year-old was like, I'm weird. I'm not fitting in because I'm weird. And what that six-year-old needed to hear was, no, that it's so normal to like try to enter a new group of friends and they have all this connection because they grew up with each other since toddlers. Like, of course, that doesn't mean anything's wrong with you. And if you're vulnerable, if you open, if you invest in these relationships, they're going to feel more cozy in time. They will. This doesn't mean something about you. It means something about the circumstance. And that is wildly different. And we hold that in very, very different ways. And I would say in the nursing situation, this doesn't mean something about you that you're feeling behind. This is just something about the circumstance. And the big kind of like, what does the grown-up need to say in this kind of circumstance? My mind goes to something like, hey, behind and ahead is a relative term that is only really talking about a couple key factors. Maybe it's like literally behind or ahead in your program, behind and ahead in what residency you're gonna get, or behind and ahead in your pedigree for being able to get into this or that so they can earn a certain amount of money at a certain job. But when you kind of let go of some of those hierarchies, some of those trails that you think you need to be at a certain pace on, you might realize that pursuing tattooing, like you said, it was actually a really meaningful, fun experience, and something that if you looked back, like in your 30s and 40s, and you never tried that, you'd actually feel some regret. And maybe it inspired you and gave you a little bit of just vigor in your life that was important for you to live out when you were 18, 19. You shouldn't have been doing homework when you were 18, 19. You should have been messing around and playing with tattoos. And maybe that's what you were supposed to be doing. And maybe, I don't know, you're learning things in your program now, and it's more about the relationships in your program that you're forming now. Some of those little key skills that are actually going to be the thing that puts you, quote unquote, ahead, rather than just being on whatever educational track you're supposed to be on. So many of the things I feel like put me ahead as a therapist were not because I got the A in the certain class, and then I progressed through my schedule at a certain pace. It was the ideas and the skills and the insights that I gathered along the way that I had no idea would come in handy in situations I couldn't have even predicted. So it's so much more flexible than you think. There's no behind or ahead when you really zoom out and look at it. And it doesn't sound to me like you wasted time. It sounds like it was meaningful. That's how I'd approach it. All right, Joey, that's my TED talk. What do you have in your head?
Well, what I got from that is you're saying that, you know, you got to get yourself in front of a mirror and say some self affirmations.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm saying.
No, I loved everything. I loved everything that you said. One of the things that really stood out to me, and it's been standing out to me, I guess it doesn't really have to do with what she said.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
said, but more kind of like how she said it. It's been sending out a lot with my friends recently too, is when somebody says, I feel like. I don't think that's the actual feeling. That's almost like replacing it with, I don't know. You do know. I know there's a feeling there. I feel like this isn't going to work out.
Yeah, I don't remember this isn't going to work out being an emotion word. I don't remember behind being an emotion word. Like, I have a little chart of feelings. It's called like a feelings wheel. I haven't seen that one on the wheel.
I just think there's got to be something deeper. And it kind of goes back to what you're saying.
Yeah.
And it's you can take, I feel like just, I just said it. As a writer, I'm really starting to notice the words that I'm choosing that are more filler and more just, they're really comfortable for me. When I feel really uncomfortable and I don't want to talk about something in a certain way and I don't want to acknowledge something, sometimes when I'm going through a really hard time in my life, it's so much easier to say, oh, I feel like this isn't going to work out. I feel like this sucks. I feel like. Instead of saying, this hurt me. This is hard. And looking back and like doing that zoom out and be like, okay, well, here's where I am in my life. It's almost easier to stay zoomed in and say, I'm not going to make it. That's my experience.
I love that. So good, Joey. So good.
Yeah.
So great, Jimmy Knowles. You did just that was so
That's
great.
That's it. I feel way better.
Love what you said, Jim.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Next one?
Next one.
Thank you. I haven't followed you for like a long time now, and I really enjoy your videos and podcasts. I just wanted to ask you one question. How can you unlove a person that you have been loving so much and you know they have been hurting you even though you were in love with them and they're in love with you? How can you unlove them? How can you not hurt while you're in a relationship? Thank you so much, and please continue doing your work. Thank you again.
Well, I don't. Saying that you don't want to hurt somebody. Somebody's going to get hurt. But that's all. That's kind of like the best part of it. And I think you can say that when you've been broken up with and you've broken up with someone. This like that moment of like self-discovery, that period. You need that hurt. You can't move forward without acknowledging that this will hurt. This will hurt them. This will hurt you. And I it's because it matters.
What do you mean by that? Because it matters.
The relationship mattered to you. The relationship mattered to them, hopefully. It's tough. I think there's like a very almost logical way of thinking, like, okay, how to unlove someone, like how to move on. Okay, you change your surroundings, change your environment, join clubs, communities, meet new people, fill your life with a little bit more positivity. But there's also something to be said for just like kind of just sitting in the crap and really feeling it and having just like this honest conversation. Just let your guard down a little bit, sit down with them and be like, hey, I'm falling out of love with you. That's a really hard thing to say, even as I'm saying it right now. It's almost like saying, I love you. That's always been tough. And I say, I'm falling out of love with you. That's even harder. But I think it's going to leave you with a lot more clarity afterwards. How do you feel? I feel like I talk about relationships and breakups a lot. And I feel like you probably talk about that. talk about that honestly, like more behind the scenes.
No, Joey, I thought that was beautiful. I actually don't have anything to add to that. I thought that was just amazing.
No notes. I've been watching my fair share of Jimmy videos.
I just think something you said stuck out. I'll just underline it. It's like it mattered. And then you got to ask the questions like, what would I have to not care about to not be in pain right now? Like, what would have to not matter to me in order for me to not feel pain? And then it kind of just occurs to you that, like, oh, I'd have to just not care about them as a person or not care about the experience or anything. And if that wasn't true during the time that you were with them, then I don't know. Why would that be true the moment after?
Yeah, it kind of loops back on itself there. Like, if it doesn't matter, then, well, this isn't really an issue that we have. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't be so scared of saying that, you know, we're falling into love.
Yeah.
But we're scared because it matters. Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
So what's our answer? Get it done.
Get her done. I think that's the summary. Get her done.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to sign off on that one?
I learned get her done as a phrase watching the show called Duck Dynasty. And this Classic. Is back in like 2013. There was this show of just a bunch of people in the woods called Duck Dynasty. And a whole new vocabulary hit the popular imagination. Get her done. She gone. All sorts of great things. So now that I'm in the South, I live in Tennessee. I use those phrases all the time.
Yeah, those phrases are very, like, Duck Dynasty is just like older, white, long bearded men saying get her done. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Should we do another one?
Yeah, let's do another. Why not?
Hello, Matthias, and hello, Joey. I'm a big fan of both of you independently, and I was super stoked when you started this podcast. And I have a big life change that's happening that I would love to hear your guys' thoughts on, because I trust and respect both of your opinions. I'm going to be moving in with my boyfriend in the next month or two, which is going to be a big change. We are planning to get married, but probably not for about another year or so. So any advice or tips or, you know, conversations that you think that we should be having to keep clear communication and for this to be as smooth and supportive transition as possible, I would appreciate. Okay, bye guys. Have a good one.
Did you get married before you lived with Paige?
Yeah, we didn't live together. We got married and then we moved in. I remember actually the first argument that we really got into was when she moved in day one and she wanted to spend all this time organizing soaps in the bathroom and like all her like face cleaner stuff and whatever. And just her womanly products. No, not womanly products like that. Just like face products. Anyway, like I remember feeling like, hey, we have to like put together this IKEA furniture and we have like dishes to put away. Like there's other stuff in the house that I thought was a bigger priority. And she, poor thing, was just like, I don't know, nesting and making a home in our house. I was just excited to like, oh, this is my bathroom now. Like I'm going to put my soaps here or there. And I totally ruined it by like kind of, hey, come help me put together this chair or something. So
you were a little stressed out that day.
I guess. I don't know. It's just, I feel sad. I mean, I was like 20. So 20-year-old Matthias was just not aware.
Oh my gosh. I feel like that's just so human. I feel like I would do that. You would do that now. Like it would happen. I'd be like, okay, well, we need to be focusing on this. There's so much to do. Let's just get it all done right now. And then we'll do that later. But yeah.
I don't know. What's your experience of like living together, the transition into that phase? What comes to mind for you?
Yeah, because I've lived with Angelica, or we're not married, but we've been living together for the last, oh gosh, maybe 2 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. So it's been some time. And I think the most important thing for us, or for me at the time, and I'm sure on her side too, but was allowing each other to live. Mm. Acknowledging that, hey, when you're at home doing your own thing, no one's watching, it's not going to be the most respectful thing to other people. You're going to be sitting there lounging on your phone, or maybe you like to eat late at night, and each person's going to have their own routine. So I think just like going into it, be open-minded to know that they live a life that isn't all you. It's not all to impress you or to always look super sexy and hot. There's going to be moments like that where they're just kind of just, they're lazy. They don't want to do the dishes, or maybe they want to go organize soaps when they should be doing something else. Mm-hmm. Just allow them to make mistakes because you're going to make them too.
Yeah, you're seeing someone not on.
Mm.
You know, the whole relationship up to that point, whether it's move in or getting married, they're on. They're giving you a good impression. They're trying. They're on good behavior. And then when you're in each other's living quarters, the good behavior kind of goes down and down into just kind of the baseline of just how they operate and who they are. And yeah. I don't know, you learn a lot about a person in that. You learn about what they're like when they're sick and then what their hopes and desires are that someone might take care of them. Like, will you make me soup? Will you get me tea? Like, I don't know, you start to learn what was it like when you were, you know, sick as a kid and how did your mom or dad take care of you? Or do you just like blaze right past, I'm sick, but I'm still working, screw it. You know, kind of. Yeah. People have different rhythms and you're going to learn things that you couldn't learn by asking, but only by observing.
And you know what I think that is? You're becoming a family.
Mm.
Right? Because then you go back to, you know, being a kid and how you like to be treated. And it's just, you're becoming a family with this person. And like you said, I don't think there's things that you can just ask and like come with like your green flag checkbox and red flag checkbox and be like, okay, answer all of these. No, we can't move in or we can move in. I don't think it's that. I think you just got to rip off the mandate.
Yeah.
Make sure you're aligned, I guess, with the relationship. Well,
yeah.
Finish but it seems like they're going to be married. So I feel like the lines are pretty much parallel.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's two ways you kind of move in together. You move in like your roommates or you move in like your partners. And if you're roommates, it's more about we kind of have our separate spaces and then we have shared spaces. So we share the kitchen, we share the bathroom, but we have our own bedrooms or like we just have our own, even just like emotional barriers. We have our own just kind of lives outside of the unit. But then partnership really is, it's kind of like, let's blend each other's lives together. And then people have different expectations around that. Like, how are you going to take care of me when this happens? Are you going to pick me up if my car breaks down? Do we watch TV tonight, you know, together every night? Do you have nights where you go do stuff? How often do we see friends? Do I feel comfortable if you're gone 5 nights out with your friends? Like, so all of that is negotiated in partnership, but not necessarily in roommateship. So I think, yeah, those direct conversations around expectations, you're not going to know all the boxes to check, like you were saying, Joey, ahead of time. You're almost going to kind of discover them as you go and then be like, oh, wait, this is rubbing me the wrong way. Let's talk about how you experienced this and what my hopes are and negotiate that. And the more direct you can be, the better. That's kind of how I think about it.
Do you do a check-in with Paige? I know some couples have like a... literally like kind of like homework every week. They sit down, have a check-in, go through each list or whatever. Like, I know we're not talking about lists, but a lot of,
yeah,
I know some couples do that. Do you do that?
Nah. Do you?
Nah.
I don't know. Maybe I know couples who do like for finances, like they'll have like a budget meeting once a month and they sit down and go over their expenses or family meetings. I think that's more relevant when you have kids who are like running around and they have track and they have soccer and they have da 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 da. And so you just feel like you kind of need to wrangle everyone together. Yeah. I don't know. Paige and I see each other really frequently. Like it's not often we go days without having like a time to sit down and reconnect and have like a serious conversation. So,
well, cause you're working from home and then
yeah.
She's a stay at home mom. Mm-hmm. She's at home all the time. So I don't know. You just had to go to the bathroom. You saw her. Probably, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Have I seen her go to the bathroom?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Let's dive into that.
I'm excited to discuss that. Well, hold on. Do you do check-ins?
Her soaps.
Good one, Jimmy. Sorry. Do you guys have a check-in?
No. We see like we're the same situation, if not more. Like I film kind of in every room of the house. And yeah. She works from home. So we're with each other almost 24/7. Yeah. I have to do almost the opposite. We have to check out and go do our own thing. I enrolled in a gym. And so now we both go together, but like, I have to be like, no, I'm going to go do my own thing now this time. So like we work out
because she's too. Always trying to like walk on the treadmill with you. She's always trying to.
Yeah. The what? Same treadmill, like waddling beside me.
Yeah, she's really in your space, it sounds like.
We really connect, and we're very similar, and it's lovely, but kind of, and I guess this would, for the caller, I this would be also useful. Take your time alone to, again, be your own person, because that's the person that they fell in love with. And as much as you want to become like this unit, you also want some individuality to be yourself and still grow as a person and find new interests and new friends. And for me, that's like, I just go to the gym. I go for a run alone. I do things with my friends alone, and it's not to be hurtful, but it's just to, I don't know, live my own life at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, there's this temptation to prepare for all of the conflicts ahead of time so that we don't have to have any negative experiences together.
I feel like there's more conflict if you prepare. Because you're kind of going into it thinking that, now we got it all figured out. Okay, nothing's going to go wrong. Nothing's going to go wrong. Oh. And then one thing does, and then it all domino.
I wish there was a way towards the intimacy without any of the conflict. And I just don't know where that road is. If someone else knows where it is, great. But I haven't found it, and I haven't found it for any of my clients. It's just like, you get in there, you think you're prepared, you talk about everything, and then something comes up, and then you talk about it, and then something comes up, and then you talk about it, and you find different rhythms, and those rhythms will change at different parts in your life. Sometimes you need time away from each other, and then you have kids, and then you find, oh, wait, we need to plan time to reconnect with each other, and then kids get older, and then you're like, oh, wait, like, we really need to, like, plan time to be together, or maybe kids grow up, and they're out of the house, and then you're like, oh, shoot, I kind of want some of my individual time again because I'm seeing enough of you. And so it's like there's every couple extroverted, introverted is going to be different with that too. No rules, just communicate, I think is the main takeaway. Yeah.
I think as Duck Dynasty says it, you just got to fuck around and find out.
You just got to get her done.
You just got to get her done. I don't know if we started this podcast. It felt right.
It felt good, especially for the you know, concluding season one. Just ending it on a spicy note. With a good F word.
A good F word. Sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need that. That's my self-affirmation in the mirror every morning.
Oh, this was great, Joey.
This was amazing. So good. I love the voicemails too. That was, it adds like a certain depth. I mean, we could, it also keeps us on track because I feel like we could dive into each topic and talk for hours. It's kept us moving.
Yeah. That was really fun. I really liked feeling like we got to connect with people who are listening, and it's not just you and I in our basements, you know, yapping, but it felt like, oh, wait, there's other people that listen to this. Okay, there's that's good. People. Yeah. It's well, let's kind of hold it here. I think that with season one ending, season two is still kind of up in the air as far as when that's going to pick back up. And so if you really love the episode, you love season one, tell your friends about it, share it, and give a 5-star review or whatever. Apparently that's important.
He's on the wagon now. Yeah.
I think that, this was really just about being vulnerable. Like, we're two guys who need therapy just as much as anybody. And so often we're the ones giving advice on TikTok or whatever, but we are saying this advice in the mirror as an affirmation to ourselves just as often.
That's exactly it.
I really enjoyed this, Joey. Thanks for taking time to have all these conversations. Just awesome.
This was amazing.
Until next time.
Let's go to therapy.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.